thankful for you being here, and I know we often get to the place where we're thankful for, you know, the weekend, and some folks get sad that it's gone. I mean, and I don't know what to tell you about that. It's about to go, and Monday will be here, but you got to go to work in the morning. Well, just get up and go. Amen. That's all I can tell you. Get up and get ready to go, because it's a coming. Amen. All right. You know, this morning we started in the 16th Psalm, and we talked about some things about the title of that psalm being the maskil, and then the miktam of David is a psalm that he's given for us to consider and think and realize that it's been written. And as I said this morning, it's been written for a reason. I mean, there is something there. See if I can get me on. There we go. There is something there that needs to be written down and inscribed for me and you so that we can understand the depth of the writing. And again, it is a messianic psalm. I don't want to take away from that, because in that psalm, you're seeing some of the things that are going to happen and some of the prophetic things about the Lord Jesus. And, you know, we need to recognize that. And I think when you study it and you see it, it's there. All the things that it says, I mean, you can see some of that, how it applies to the children of Israel and how that it is for them. But then there's the other parts of it with a little bit deeper meaning that says, hey, Jesus is predicted to come. Jesus, you and I know that He did come, and Jesus died for our sins. So we understand that. So if you will, let's look as we further in chapter or Psalm number 16. Let's read it again. And as I said, it's titled. If your Bible has titles, I think that's a real blessing and a help. It says, Miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for this good word and the things that it says to our hearts. And I pray again, just bless the understanding of it. Just open it to us. Give us insight and wisdom, help tonight. And again, we'll thank you for that. We'll praise you for it. And Lord, I pray you just draw us all closer. Make us more like you. Give us a better view of you and what you do for us and how that you are there for us continually. And let us just give you praise. Save the lost tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. As I say, when you look at this, you can see David talks about that or uses that word miktam, and it means something, again, that is inscribed, something that is put down into a solid form, something into, like the law was given to Moses and those tables of stone. And you remember how that Job cried out and said, oh, that my words were written in iron. I mean, he said, boy, that would be something that's preserved. Thank God, aren't you glad we've got some things that are preserved? The Word of God being the main thing there that we know that is preserved. And the ideas that are given to us, the thoughts and the wonderful things that God said, those are some preserved things. And He says
It's almost as if it is a secretive thing. A blessed thing, almost like it's a mysterious thing. I mean, it's one of those things that when you look at it, you just really don't get it. I mean, you can't understand it like you'd like to, but it's marvelous, it's glorious when you look into it. And you know, I think that's the way me and you ought to be about our salvation anyway. I'm saved, but I want to tell you, I don't understand every little intricacy of my salvation. I don't understand exactly why he did it. I don't know fully everything about how he did it, but I sure am proud to tell you that he did do it. Amen? And that I'm saved. And I think you and I ought to be blessed in that and understand that. Well, as I said, the idea of that also has the implication that there is something that is covered. The idea of something being hidden, something that's a treasure that is put away or that is covered, that is something precious, something blessed. And here it is. And as I said this morning, we talked about this and just said, I'm covered. Amen. I'm covered. I'm covered because of some things. And as we just go back and just mention this real quickly, I'm covered because I'm covered. I can tell you that I'm completely safe because he saved me. Amen. Completely safe. Second of all, we said, because I'm covered, I can continually shout. I got something to shout about because I am his and he is mine. I've got something that's worth celebrating and shouting about. Amen? But let's go further, if you will, tonight. Let's look at the last couple of things and these verses has gone from verse 7 down through verse number 11. I want you to notice this as a third idea. And because I'm covered, I am calmly settled. There's a calm, settled peace about our lives because we know him and we're in that depth, we're in that place where we understand his goodness, where we understand that we're saved, where we understand that everything in our past is taken care of, that we have a future and our future is with him. I can be very calm and settled in those things. Amen? Listen to what he says about that in verse number 7. He says, I will bless the Lord. Amen? Doesn't that sound like somebody that's just kind of calmly settled in the fact of all of these things that are above here? I will bless the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm just going to bless him. I'm just going to praise his name. I'm just going to give him some worship. I'm just going to tell you that I thank him for all that he's done for me. But look what he said. I will bless the Lord. Listen. Who hath given me counsel, my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I want you to look at that just for a minute and think about this. That one reason that I can be calmly settled is because of this. First of all, I am instructed by the Master. I've got my instruction, my direction, my teaching, my understanding, my wisdom all comes from my Master, who is my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm instructed by the Master. He said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. I mean, David appreciates those things that God has told him and those things that God has taught him. He said, God's instructed me. He's given me some counsel. Do you understand? Do we understand tonight that the best counsel that any of us can get comes from somebody that knows more than we do? Amen? When you get good counsel, hey, that's somebody that knows something about it. You know what? I don't go over to the auto parts store and say, hey, guys, my foot hurts. What do y'all think I'll do about it? They say, well, we got spark plug bars for you. You know, I mean, hey, that's not where I need to be, right? I mean, let's go to the doctor if you've got a physical. But if you've got a car problem, those guys are pretty sharp and can probably help you with some of those issues. What I'm saying is your counsel needs to come from somebody that knows more about what's going on with the situation than you do. And David here writes and says, I'm just going to bless the Lord because he's given me the counsel. I'm going to praise him because he's instructed me in some of the ways of this life. Amen. Do you know what Jesus said when he got ready to leave over in the book of John, when he was talking to his disciples, John 14, 15, 16, when he's giving them some of their last instructions? He said, I'm going to pray the Father. And the Father, I'm going to pray the Father, and I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to pray that the Father would send you the Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit, okay? And the Holy Spirit, well, why do we need the Holy Spirit, preacher? Jesus said, I'm with you now, but I'm going away. And you're going to need somebody that can comfort you, somebody that can help you, somebody that can instruct you, somebody that can guide you in this life. And I'm not going to be here, but God the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's coming to do these things for you. You and I need that instruction in our lives tonight. I need it. I mean, sometimes I don't know which way to go. Sometimes I'm not sure which door to pick. I'm not exactly clued in on all the directive and the ways to the paths, all those things before me. What do I do? Thank God, let's seek some wise counsel. Amen. Get somebody that knows more about it than you do and go with them. And David says, look, I just want to tell you I appreciate the Lord's instruction. I appreciate the Lord's help. And hey, listen, when I've got problems, when I face obstacles, when I've got enemies, I've got to know what to do. Amen? I think we talked about this here not too long ago, but one of the kings of Israel, Hezekiah, was in trouble. Sennacherib, his enemy, was outside the gates. They were getting ready to come in. They had been sending ambassadors there to try to work out some kind of deal and say, y'all just surrender, y'all give it up, y'all give it over, and we won't kill you. And Hezekiah's like, I don't know what to do. And the king had sent letters. Sennacherib had sent letters to Hezekiah. And his soldiers brought him in and they said, King, here's the letters from Sennacherib. And it says, give up. You can't help nobody. That they're going to come in and kill everybody unless you agree to their terms. And you know what Hezekiah did? Hezekiah got those letters from that king. He took them down to the house of God and he spread them out there on the altar before the Lord, and he began to pray and he began to say in so many words, God, I don't know what to do, but look at what they're saying. Look what they say they're going to do. Look how it looks bad for us. What are you going to do, God? And God said, just hang on, son. I'm on the way and I'm going to give you the victory. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the idea behind this thought right here. David is saying, look, God has come to me and instructed me in some times, some days, and some seasons in my life when I did not know, and he gave me the right counsel, and because of that, I'm going to bless his holy name. I'm just going to praise him. But not only that, he said, I've been instructed by the Master. But look what he says in the latter part of that verse. He said, I bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Look what he said, My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Can I tell you, there's night seasons that come into every one of our lives. There's some seasons that, boy, in the dark. Doesn't everything look worse in the dark? I can remember, and I'm sure some of the others of you, except for Lynn, have talked about this before. There was just something during the night when our spouses were in their last days and they were getting ready to pass, and you know, it's just those nights, they were tough. I mean, you just couldn't sleep, and you were restless, and you were questioning, and you were just on edge, and you know what I thought many times? If I can just hang on till daybreak, if I can just make it till that sun begins to peek over the horizon, if I can just, and I'd pray and say, God, help me get through this night. Amen. And there's been some of you been there. You've had sicknesses, or you've had family, or you've had issues, and you think, if I could just get a glimmer of light, if I can just get a ray of hope out there, things will be better. And when the daybreak gets there, sure enough, things look better. But I can tell you now, David said, when I was in a night season, God came to me. Amen. I'm here to tell you, in another one of the Psalms, David says this, that he said that he heard some songs in the night. Boy, when you hear God singing, when the angels of the Lord come down, I'm talking about when God sends somebody down like he did that night in the Bethlehem when the shepherds were on the hillside and they said, "Woo, here, we got good news for you." Amen. Glory to God. And on earth peace, he said, "Good tidings toward men." Hey, they began to tell about a Savior being born in Bethlehem. That was a song in the night season. Amen. I'm telling you, things were, it was surely physically night, but it was also pretty spiritually dark in the land of Israel at that time. They needed some hope and some help. Thank God he sent it, didn't he? Amen. That night when those angels made that announcement. And I'm telling you, David says here of the night season, well, he said, "My reins also instruct me." He's talking about the inward part of him, the reins, that word refers to. I don't know why, but the ancient folks used to think that the entrails, the inward parts of people, the kidneys and the liver and some of those inward parts, that they had something to do with your thinking and your reasoning. And they said that was the seat of your emotions and all that. I don't quite understand that, but that's what they thought. That's why the writing is written here. That's my reins, those things that are on the inside of me, those things that I don't know. But thank God, hey, they tell me just to calm down because it is there to settle those issues in your mind. You've instructed me, amen. In my mind, you have given me some collective thoughts. You've calmed things down. You've put me in a place where my instruction is right where it ought to be, amen. In the night season, I'm telling you, there's challenges, there's adversity, but God can come and give help at all times, whether it's a daybreak and a sweet, sunny, bright day, or if it's one of those of the dark, stormy nights. You remember we talked about Paul and his companions in that ship in Acts chapter 27. They've been out on the sea for weeks. I mean, it's been nearly 2 weeks at least, been maybe longer than that. And they're out there, and they haven't seen a star shine. They hadn't seen the sun break through. They hadn't seen anything but a storm. They're right in the middle of a great storm. And as they're there, Paul slips away, and he begins to pray. And can I tell you, in that time of prayer, in that closeted place of Paul and his prayer time, God shows up and God sends the light and God gives the instruction. God gives the wisdom to Paul. When Paul steps out of his little prayer time, he comes back to those men and he looked at them and he said, "Fellas, you haven't had anything to eat for 14 days. We've been driven up and down in this storm. We've been in," and he said, "it's time that you take something to eat." He said, and they looked at him probably like, "Well, you're crazy. We're in the, don't you see what kind of mess we're in? We're in the middle of a storm. Why do you think we ought to take?" He said, "Let me tell you, this night," he said, "I got away and I've been praying." He said, "And this night, an angel of the Lord," he said, "whose I am and whom I serve, he has come to me." And he said, "Paul, be of good cheer." He said, "because there'll be no harm to happen to anybody on this boat that's with you." Amen. And old Paul looked at them and he said, "Wherefore, sirs?" He said, "Be of good cheer." He said, "For I believe God that it shall be so, even as he's told it unto me." He said, "Come on, boys, let's eat. You're going to need some strength. There's a battle ahead, but we're going to make it." Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes you'll get in those night seasons and you just need some instruction during those night sessions, during those hard times, during those tough days. You need the instruction that only God can give. All right? Not only that, look what else. He's been instructed. He said, I'm settled. I've been instructed by the Master. I've got some instruction to help my mindset. I've been instructed not to be moved. Look at verse number 8. He said, "I have set the Lord always before me." And he said, "because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Amen. You ever wonder where we get that little song? Sometimes the kids used to sing it all the time, and you and I have sang it some. I shall not be moved. Amen. Some of them said, "Preacher, I believe that's a Baptist national anthem." Amen. Yeah. Try to ask somebody to do something. I shall not be moved. Amen. I mean, we ain't gonna budge for nothing. But I'm telling you, it's according to the scriptures that David says here, just because I've got the Lord there before me. He said, the Lord is there. I've set him always before me, and because he's there at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I don't have to worry. I've just got a calm settledness about my life and my heart. I'm not gonna be moved. Can I tell you, I'm not going to be moved today. I mean, I know times are changing. People are changing. Churches are changing. Preachers are changing. Doctrines seem to be changing. The Bibles seem to be changed. But I shall not be moved. Amen. This is what's got me here, and I'm going to stay with it. Oh, there's people say, well, you know, you're one of them. Yes, I am. Hard-headed, not headed. I mean, buddy, I'm ever kind of headed. You can say, I'm standing with this stuff because it's got me where I'm at, and I believe it'll take me on home. Amen. I'm settled. I'm just calmly settled with it because, look, I'm instructed, and I'm settled on the fact I'm not going to be moved. Amen. Be assured that he is there with you. Don't let your circumstances dictate on what's going to happen. Can I tell you, if you look at circumstances, you'll do a whole lot of moving. Oh, well, this is coming. I better go this way. This is happening. I better go back. You know, we'll get all out of sort and shape if we're not careful. But I'm telling you, stand firmly. You know what Paul told us? And in his writings, he says, he's talking about being armed and clad with the full armor of God. And when he gets to it, he said, having done all, he said, just stand. Amen. When you can't do nothing else, you know what you can do? You can stand. You can take a stand. You remember the writings we went through about some of David's mighty men? And Shammah was one of David's mighty men. He went down to the pea patch. The Bible said there was a field full of lentils, and the Philistines were coming to overtake it, and all the people fled. But old Shammah grabbed his sword, and he went into the pea patch, and he stood against the Philistines, and he overcame them. Amen. He decided he's going to take a stand and not give up. Can I tell you, let me encourage you toward that today. Be instructed in this thing by the Word of God that you're going to take a stand. Well, preacher, what's the use? The world's turning against us. The world is saying it's not this, but it's that. Hey, just take a stand anyway. Stand for what's right. I'm telling you, just square your shoulders up. I'm talking about get your back locked in. Get ready, because we will have to take a stand in these last days. You're going to have to stand for the Word of God. You're going to have to stand for the Lord Himself. You're going to have to stand for those things that are righteous and true, just, honorable, and honest. You're going to have to stand. And brother, just make your mind up, you're going to stand. You know, somebody said, you give the devil an inch, pretty soon he'll be a ruler. Amen? Ain't that the truth? I mean, don't give him the very least bit of accommodation. Just continue to make your stand in the Lord. David says here, I've set the Lord always before me. That's one of the main things. You've got to put him out front. Set him before your face. Keep looking at him. Keep looking at him and keep looking to him. And because you do that, he said, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I'm looking at somebody that's a rock. I'm looking at somebody that'll never change. I'm looking at somebody that won't just get willy-nilly and shift his mind and his thinking. Brother, God hadn't changed. You know what? Psalm 119, verse 89 said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This thing will not change. It's not changing for me. It's not changing for you. It's not changing for any man in this world. It's settled. It's written down. And it's put in stone. And it's settled in heaven forever. Amen. So I'm instructed not to be with. Finally, I'm instructed not to mention or to mention where all of my blessings come from. Look here in verse number 9. He said, therefore, because I've set him before me, because he's at my right, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? I've been instructed to just tell everybody, to mention to everybody who is the one that brings all of those good things, all of those blessings into my life. He said, therefore, because of all of this above, all this that he said already, my heart's glad. My heart's glad, and my glory is going to rejoice, and my flesh is going to rest in hope, and I'm just going to tell somebody, thank God it's all because of what Jesus did for me. Amen? Yeah, I'm so thankful for that. Hey, when you can get out there, you're instructed to mention that it's the Lord that's done all. Therefore, amen. He said earlier, he said, I will bless the Lord. I'm going to bless him because he's blessed me. I'm going to talk about him because he's talked to me and he's there with me and he's guided me. He's comforted me. He has been my helper. He's been my strong hold. He's been everything that there is. He's there to give that instruction. And thank God, I'm just going to mention that it's him that's done it. Amen. Oh, I love that song. Logan sings it for us sometimes. Did I mention that I love him? Woo, how I worship and adore him. Thank God. Boy, I tell you, every once in a while, y'all just mention that. Did I tell y'all I love him? Oh, did I tell y'all he loves me? You know, we sang that little kid song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But did you know you can kind of switch that around too? And sing it like this, Jesus knows me, this I love. Amen. Aren't you glad he knows who you are? He knows where you are. He knows what's going on. And thank God he loves you no matter where and what's going on in your life today. Amen. Therefore, David says, my heart's glad. Because I can be calmly settled in all of these things, my heart's glad. I'm just telling you, I don't have anything that I should be fretting or worrying over. I don't have anything that's bigger than him. I don't have anything that is up against. Hey, my heart's glad. Amen. The psalmist said, therefore is my heart glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My exuberance, my inward, the thing that I've got to glory about, why, I'm just rejoicing over him. Over who he is to me, what he is to me, I'm rejoicing over that. And he said, my flesh also shall rest in hope. I can rest with this old rotten, stinking flesh I got, but it sure does rest in a hope of a better day and a better thing that's coming down the line. All right, let's look at one last thing. These couple of last verses, if you will. And I'm calmly settled. I want you to know, last of all, I'm completely sure. I'm completely sure. Listen to what he says. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Boy, isn't that a wonderful set of verses? I can tell you, first of all, I'm completely sure about my present circumstance. He said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. I can stand before you today and tell you, as the songwriter said, and again, Brother Logan sings it for, I'm not going to hell. Amen? I'm not headed there. Why? Because Jesus saved me. Amen. He is not going to send me to that place of the damned. He is not going to send me to that place of eternal separation because he saved my soul. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm completely sure. I'm sure about my present day. Hey, I came to him. I repented of my sin. I got myself under the blood of Christ. I became a new creature in him. And I'm completely sure about my present situation. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad that you can be sure about what he's done for you? I mean, you can have an assurance of salvation. I told you this morning, there's people running around. You can talk to them, and they'll say, well, boy, I hope I'm going to make it. Preacher, I just hope I'm going to heaven. Well, really? Oh, well, I mean, you know, we won't know till we get there. Really? I mean, is that the kind of assurance? I mean, hey, why in the world could Fanny Crosby, you don't remember who Fanny Crosby was, don't you? The blind lady that wrote that great song in your red back hymnal that said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. I'm telling you, you can have that blessed assurance. You can have the assurance that says, I know that I'm saved. I know that I belong to Him. I know my sins are gone. Woo! Isn't that a great assurance? I'm just telling you, I'm completely sure about my present situation. But don't you notice where he goes on beyond that? He said, I'm completely sure about the path that I'm on. Listen to what he said. Thou wilt show me, in verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. I'm on that path. Amen? Oh, well, we sing that song sometime. I'm going that way. Hey, I'm on that path. I'm on that road. I'm on a trail that is leading somewhere. I'm not on the one that's going to destruction. It says that there's a broad way, but I'm on that narrow one that leadeth to life everlasting. And it said, few there be which go in there. I am on my way to heaven. Amen. I'm on that pathway. Praise God. Aren't you glad that? Hey, I'm telling you, listen, there's a place that we're going. I mean, we are there. He has made a pathway for us. Brother Bagg was preaching about it when he was preaching to us out of the book of Isaiah, and he was talking about how that there's a highway there. And he said, the wayfaring man and the stranger. He said, though he be a fool, he shall not err there. You can be as dumb as it is about something, but if you come to Christ and he puts you on that way, you're going, amen. You're going, and you're going in the right way. David here says, thou wilt show me the path of life. The Lord said, this is the way. Amen. As a matter of fact, what did he say? John 14:6. Jesus told Thomas, says unto him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is that path that leads to heaven. That's the only way you're getting there. Amen? That's the only way you're getting there. You're not coming any other way. Well, what about what I did? It doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter about your good deeds. They are as nothing. Brother Ronnie mentioned this verse this morning in our Sunday school class. He was talking about over in the Old Testament where the writer said, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The very best I got is filthy rags in the sight of God. But when I get clothed in the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ, boy, that makes the difference. Amen? So I'm just telling you, he's got me on the right path. I'm on the right path. Thou wilt show me the path of life. When you come to him, he said, this is the way. He said, get in this way and stay therein. Amen? Boy, I mean, find those old landmarks. Get in this path. Get in this way. And you know what the people of Israel said in that little section there in Jeremiah? They said, we will not follow it. Amen. And that's the way people are. We want to do it our way. Amen. Everybody thinks Frank Sinatra is going to get you to heaven. I did it my way. I don't care what you do. You better do it Jesus' way and the Bible way. You ain't going to heaven. Amen. He'll show me the path. So I'm completely sure about my present situation, completely sure about my path, and I'm very, very calmly and completely sure about my presentation one day. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. When you get into the presence of the Lord, there's just a joy. Well, Peter says that your salvation brings joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Can I tell you, in his when you get in his presence, oh my, can you believe it? I mean, we're going to be there one day and you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body, Paul says, is to be present with the Lord. That's where we're going to be one of these days, y'all. We're going to be with him. Paul wrote over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verses 13 down through the end, verse number 18, when he's talking about those people that had questions about their loved ones dying, and they didn't know what was going to happen to them. They weren't sure. And Paul said, let me assure you that those that have already died, he said, they're coming out of those graves. Their bodies are going to come, and the Lord's going to change them, and we which are alive and remain, we'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're all going to be caught up. What does he say? To be with the Lord. And at the end of that, he said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, he said, comfort one another with these words. Boy, when you hear somebody tell you, well, we're just not sure. We don't know what happens. I can't tell you what happens beyond this life. Hey, man, there's no comfort in that, is there? But when you've got somebody that says to be absent from this body for a Christian is to be present with the Lord, what a comfort there is in those very words, in the very things that Christ Jesus is saying. Man, aren't you glad that there's going to be a place where you're going to be and your presentation is going to be there before Him one day, and in His presence there is fullness of joy. Then notice the very last thing he says. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I'm completely sure about the pleasures that are there when I get there. I mean, it's going to be a place where there's just pleasures forevermore. At thy right hand. Now, believe me, and you can understand this. This is really messianic in its thought, because Jesus is sitting where? At the right hand of the Father. And Jesus is sitting there, but you know when Jesus got there, what God the Father had already thundered here on earth? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. While he was down here, he said that as he was baptized. He said that on the Mount of Transfiguration. But surely can't you believe when Jesus walked into the throne room and the place of God with his blood as a sacrifice for our sins, and he set it down on the altar of God and said, it is finished. And here's the proof, the blood that was shed for the sin. And God probably looked then and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know what he got to do as a high priest? Oh man, we talk about this all the time. The high priest in the Old Testament, you go through and look at the tabernacle. You go through and look and see what they're doing. There's everything. There are tables. There are lavers. There are offering plates. There are all kinds of implements. There's candlesticks, and there's knives. I mean, there's everything you need. But you know what's missing there? There's not one of these. Not a chair in the entirety of the place of sacrifice. Not a chair. But do you see what the Bible says here? At the right hand of the throne of God, there is a place that Jesus, as your high priest, he went over and he sat down. Hallelujah! You know why? Because down here, there were no chairs there in the place of the temple. There were no chairs in the place of the tabernacle, because there was a never-ending time of sacrifice. The sacrifice had to be brought again and again and again and again. But that day, Jesus walked in, placed his blood on the mercy seat, and said, this is it. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he shed his blood once, forever, for sin. And he placed it on that mercy seat in heaven between those two cherubims whose wings met. And then he sat down and he said, I'm finished with the work. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful to know that? Woo, thank God. What does that mean? That means there was a finality. That means there was a completeness. That means there was an assurance that your sin had been dealt with eternally forever. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful for that. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Boy, when we get there, I'm going to look over to the right hand of God. I'll be pleased. I'll say, man, he's the one that died for me. He's the one that shed his blood for my sake. He's the one that purchased my everlasting eternal salvation. And you know what? I'm going to be pretty happy about that. There's going to be pleasure for those of us that have trusted in him. That have trusted in him. Well, I'll tell you, in his presence, it'll be face to face. And in that time of pleasure, oh man, it's going to be eternally, forever and ever and ever, and time will be no more. You and I can't even understand that down here. But we're going to be there with him, and we're going to experience the pleasures of God's salvation in Christ forevermore. Amen. Paul tells us over in the book of Ephesians that we're going to be on a display, if you will. We're going to be out there as a trophy of his grace forevermore. Amen. Let me just read that to you, just over in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 2. Let me jump over real quick if I can. Ephesians chapter number 2, and Paul is talking about being saved by grace, but listen to what he says. In verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, with it, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he says, with his great love wherewith he loved, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved. He said, and hath raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In those days, you and I will be a display of the grace of God. We'll be out there in the trophy case of grace. And boy, if anybody ever said anything, well, how did you get here? It wasn't me. It was what Jesus did to get me here. Amen. It's the riches of God's grace. This is the end point of it right here. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. I'm glad we're going that way, and I'm glad one of these days we can all say, well, I'm completely sure about my destination. Are you tonight? Brother Ronnie, while you come, if you would, this evening, I'm completely sure